Alexandra Horowitz is the author of the number one New York Times bestseller, Inside of a Dog, with dogs see, smell, and know. Her new book is Being a Dog, Following the Dog into a World of Smell. She reveals the often surprising evolutionary reasons behind why dogs behave the way they do and explores what dogs know in even greater depth, following their lead to learn about the dog's spectacular nose and how we mere humans can improve our underused sense of smell. The result is a revelation about the world that we share. Again, the name of the book is Being a Dog, Following the Dog into a World of Smell. The book is published by Scribner, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Alexandra Horowitz to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks.
What brought you to this world of smell?
I've been studying the mind of the dog, dog cognition, for many years. And it's obvious to me from the studies I do and from learning more about their brains that they really experience the world primarily through smell. And I would like to know what it's like to be a dog. So that means I need to know what it's like to be a smelling creature.
Okay. So how close did you get?
Right. I did spend a good amount of time smelling the things that dogs smell. More effective was practicing using my own sense of smell. And though I got a lot better at smelling things and noticing and naming, being able to recognize and name odors. Boy, I know I'll never be a dog. And one of the reasons is, you know, I try to put words on things, and that's the way I remember. But clearly, that's not the experience for dogs.
You point out in the book that we as humans have about 6 million olfactory receptor cells in our noses. Dogs can have anywhere between 200 million and a billion.
Right.
What does that depend on?
Well, there are breeds that have more numbers of these smell receptor cells. Dogs who have been for a long time bred for scent work, like bloodhounds, like beagles, they actually have on the higher level. But in all of those cases, it's, you know, what we see is that there are hundreds of millions more olfactory receptors, smell receptors in dogs than in us. So they have, and many more types of receptors too. So like they can see, you know, we have three color receptors to see three different types of colors. It's as if, you know, they have 100. They must see a much more vivid olfactory landscape than we do.
And with that olfactory landscape, what does that give them? What does that allow them to do that we can't even understand?
Well, they can detect, certainly, lots of odors that we think aren't even there, you know, don't even have an odor, because they can detect such small amounts of some substances. It also allows them to just see the world as smells instead of seeing it as, you know, something that primarily is just visual, is just light. And I even think it allows them to smell time in a way, because smells tell time. You know, a strong odor is something that's newer or more recent, and a weak odor is something that happened in the past. So they go outside, and the person who passed by an hour ago, well, they've left their scent on the ground, and the dog can detect it. And someone who's about to come around the corner, if the breeze is right, their scent is coming toward them, and so they can smell the person before we see them.
I think we've probably, at least dog owners, have all had this experience where we go home and we're getting the sniff down from our dog, and you have to say to yourself, oh, well, like, what was I around and near that they're going nuts about? Oh, right, I was playing with the poodle.
Right,
so,
exactly.
And that really does tell you something of what they're able to pick up. What can we learn from that?
I think we can learn that there's a much richer world out there than just is limited to our sight. And for my own part, I became a lot more interested in the fact that smell has all this information. You know, people have smells, your dogs have smells, objects have smells, and that's fascinating to me. It's something that we've kind of ignored for the most part, those of us who aren't expert smellers, but it's right in front of us.
You make this point in the book that it's not that we can smell, it's that just by and large we don't.
Right. Yeah, we have decent noses, and the evidence of that is that we taste things, you know. Taste is mostly smell. It's just smell that goes up through the back of the mouth instead of through the nostrils. And you can confirm that by plugging your nose when you are chewing something, and suddenly the taste disappears for the most part. Maybe you still smell salt, taste salt, but that's about it, or sweet. And so, as a matter of fact, if you do practice, we find that we notice a lot of odors, and some odors at really minute quantities as well. It's just that that's mostly not what we do, and it's certainly not socially normal to go around smelling things really closely.
So I have a yellow lab, and we go out in the yard, and that nose is on the ground, and you can yell and scream. You're not going to get that nose up off that ground.
Mm-hmm.
I bring up the question because in reading the book, I kept on asking myself, yes, where does this come in as far as training and discipline?
Smells?
Yeah.
In my estimation, you know, I think that dogs should be allowed to smell like that. You know,
right.
If they're totally consumed with that, whatever is on the ground there. And it's a bad time to try to ask them to move away, really, because they're just going to ignore you. I mean,
right.
This is much more interesting. It's a beautiful vista that's opened up in front of them. But also, you know, they could be encouraged by smells, potentially. Like, given the opportunity to smell, that probably would be a reward. So I hope that any, you know, dog owners think of smell as just an important part of the dog's social and perceptual life and allow them to do more of it.
And you will admit freely, I think, that, you know, sometimes that behavior, while fascinating and cool, can also be gross.
For sure. I mean, they roll in things. They don't roll in lovely smelling things that are lovely smelling to us, right? No,
right.
My dog never comes home, you know, smelling like cinnamon buns. It's horrible stuff to us, and we don't know exactly why. It could be just the popularity theory where this smells so good, if I cover myself with it, you know, I'll be popular with all the other dogs. But they don't seem to be making the same real negative judgments about too many smells as we do.
You also make the point that there are dogs that can smell cancer. There are dogs that can smell body under piles of rubble. There are dogs. I mean, we have employed these animals for decades in doing work like this. Do you think we've reached the full potential of what they can do, of our understanding of what their possibilities are?
I really don't. I mean, I think basically that what we've trained dogs to do has been limited more by our imagination about what might be smellable than about the dog's capacity to smell things. Yeah, there are plenty of dogs doing these incredibly diverse and interesting detection things, from, as you say, you know, detecting cancer in breath or in urine or in blood, to detecting falling blood sugar in diabetics, to detecting like illegally imported fruit. You know, I mean, they're all over the place, and so many things seem to have a smell. We just haven't even reached the limits of how we could use dogs, how we could train dogs if we wanted to.
According to the book jacket, you have two large dogs. What kind of dogs are they?
They're both mixed breed dogs, you know, one kind of labby, medium-sized dog,
yeah,
and the other a bigger one. And
they live in the city. So is it,
yep,
is it different? I have a country dog, you have a city dog. So is that experience different?
Oh, yeah. In fact, one of our city dogs, I think, would prefer to be a country dog. And it was for the first 3.5 years of his life before we adopted him. We got him at a shelter where he had been returned. And he's more of a country guy. When we take him out of the city, he's more interested in that. And the city is full of some alarming sounds, you know, but he's adjusted. Dogs are very flexible. You know, they'll adjust to their environment. Both environments, you know, pretty rich of smell. And so I'm not sure which one, in terms of the olfactory scene, they prefer.
Well, the book is fascinating. It's entitled Being a Dog, Following the Dog into a World of Smell. It's published by Scribner. Alexandra Horowitz, I thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. Best of luck.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book is Being a Dog, Following the Dog into a World of Smell. The book is published by Scribner. Alexandra Horowitz is the author. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.